Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, temporary New Orleans resident, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the film's Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, How to Please a Woman, and The Righteous. Again, too easy. Never mind. Hi, David. How are you?
You could make a whole short story.
Without even, you know, again, without even exercising half a brain cell, which was...
Anyway, yes, as you mentioned, I am still down in New Orleans on this month away from home, and it is warm down here, but it is nicely air-conditioned where we are, and they show movies down here, as I mentioned last time we talked, so I'm all set to go. Got some movies to talk about, and the first one I would like to talk about is called Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, and this is based on a pretty famous novel by Paul Gallico, an American writer, even though it's about an English woman. And the novel is often known as Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, but it's also known as Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, and that is what the movie is called. And it's a very nice little movie, and I had a nice time watching it, although I have a little bit of a mixed feelings about it. But it is largely of note for two reasons. First of all, it is just a beautiful movie to look at, and secondly, it has a very lovable main performance by Leslie Manville, who does a very, very nice job as Mrs. Harris. Anyway, what is the movie about? Well, it is about, and by the way, Paul Gallico wrote four novels about Mrs. Harris. She was a very successful character back in her day. And she is an English cleaning woman. And that is how we see her at the beginning of Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. She's a good cleaning woman. She does all of the things that she needs to do, and she seems to enjoy her work, although she doesn't much enjoy the condescension that she gets from some of the wealthy people that she works for. But she finds out fairly early in the film, she finds out something about her past. Her husband has been missing in action for a very long time, and she has always hoped that somewhere he is alive out there. This was a World War II thing, of course. The movie takes place in the 1950s. And then she finds out fairly early in the movie that, yes, in fact, he has died. He was killed in action. He is not just missing in action. But she then discovers she has a whole lot of money coming to her from, well, never mind. It's a complicated thing involving his service and so forth and so on. A bunch of money coming to her. And the whole beginning part of the movie, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, involves her, try and get a hold of more money. There's an amusing little sequence where she goes to a dog race and she bets way, way too much money on a dog that she is convinced is going to win, even though it's a long shot. And, well, I won't tell you how that comes out, but there's ups and downs and money comes and goes in the first part of the movie. She gets some and then she loses some and then she loses some and then she gets some. But eventually, she comes up with enough money that she's going to be able to go to Paris. And her big dream, this is the dream of her lifetime, you might say, is to own a magnificent Christian Dior dress. And so she goes off to Paris and she goes to the House of Dior. Now, this is the beginning of the main part of the movie, where a whole lot of the drama and comedy of the movie comes from this very ordinary cleaning person who, you know, works in a very working class job. And she's a very working class kind of a person being in the House of Dior with all of these spectacular rich people around. And everybody is very, well, not everybody, many people are very snobbish toward her. But she wants to buy a gown. She wants to buy a gorgeous, glorious dress that she will then have. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff about her selecting a gown and this and that, and the one that she really wants gets sold to somebody else who is a regular customer and so gets preference over her and so forth and so on. But finally she selects the gown that she wants, etc. So that's basically what the movie is about. It's about Mrs. Harris going to Paris and buying the magnificent gown of her dreams. That might not sound very dramatic, but like the first part of the movie, which involves her money, the rest of the movie too, it has sort of ups and downs. She wins a little, she loses a little, she wins a lot, she loses a lot. I mean situations, not just money. And eventually, of course, the whole thing, this being basically a very romantic fairy tale type movie, the whole thing comes to a fairly satisfactory ending for all concerned. So I mentioned already that the main character is played by Leslie Manville, and she does just beautifully. One interesting thing about this movie is that one of her other fairly recent films, Phantom Thread, is very much about the world of fashion, and she was a leading character in that. And so here she is again, back in the world of fashion, although playing a very different kind of character. So it's fun to see Leslie Manville do this. I want to mention somebody else who gets very high billing in the movie, even though it's not the leading role, and that is the very great, magnificent French actress, Isabelle Huppert, who plays a very, very high-up person at the House of Dior. And I have to say, I have respected Isabelle for years and years. She's one of the great actors that we have in today's film world, and she can do anything. And here, at the beginning, it's hard even to recognize her. Her face has just transformed. She's a different kind of character. She's a different kind of person. And yet, there is the recognizable Isabelle Huppert there, and she is just superb. Even though it's not the leading role in the film, she is just marvelous, and it's always such a pleasure to watch her. But this is basically Leslie Manville's movie, and it's also a movie of the cinematographer, because it's a beautifully shot movie, all sorts of beautiful images and very rich, wealthy surroundings and Parisian surroundings and so forth and so on. So it's a great looking movie as well. So the whole film is basically a fairy tale. And I like the fairy tale fashion in it, and I like the fairy tale sort of characters in it. The thing, however, revolves too much around money. You realize somewhere well into the movie that the only reason Mrs. Harris is being paid any attention to by the people at the House of Dior is that she is willing to spend a whole lot of money on a dress. And, you know, that is, in a way, the movie sort of critiques that sort of money fetishism a little bit, but not enough for my taste. So I just found the movie a little too uncritical over the idea that what it really takes to get along in this world is a lot of money, which is what, at least for a little while, Mrs. Harris has. So again, I think the fairy tale capitalism of it is just a little bit much for my blood. That aside, it's a very lovely little fairy tale movie set in the real world, of course, but a barely recognizable version of the real world. And if you love Leslie Manville, and if you love sort of fairy tale type movies that come to a fairy tale type conclusion, then you will enjoy Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. It's a nice, if very minor, little film. Our second film for today, Jill, is called How to Please a Woman. And oh my gosh, this is something I've been trying to figure out for my whole life long so far. And I still haven't gotten the secret, although I keep trying. Of course, I like to please men too. But this is a movie about how to please a woman. And it was directed and written by Renee Webster. And it is an Australian film. And it very much takes place in Australia. And once again, we have house cleaning as a central part of the story. So our main character is a woman named Gina, who is played this time by Sally Phillips, another very fine actor who she's mainly known probably for a lot of the Bridget Jones movies, but she's been in a lot of movies over the years. She plays a woman who very early in the film gets laid off from her job. She's a businesswoman, and she works for a company doing, you know, keeping accounts and that sort of thing. She gets laid off from her job. But during the very last phase of her actual work, she's kind of got to know some people, some men at a moving company. And that's what they do. They move furniture and that sort of thing. And they, too, are going out of business. That things are bad all over, it turns out. So she gets this great idea, and I won't tell all how this comes about, but the idea is, and it comes in kind of an ironic way, somehow or other, she gets the idea of transforming this moving company into a moving company that is also a sort of a strip club. Not a strip club exactly, but what happens is somebody buys her a birthday present, which is a young man who comes to her house, and he starts to take off his clothes, playing disco music and that sort of thing. And she says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Oh, I'm your birthday present." And she says, "Well, please don't do that." He says, but you have 2 hours with me. It's all been paid for. I'll do anything you want." Well, we know what that means. That's a bit smarmy. But what she says is, "Well, how about cleaning my house?" And that is what turns out to be the driving idea for this movie. When the company that he works for has gone out of business, and she has these unemployed moving men who are out of business, she gets the idea of a company that will do anything that you want if you are a woman. Namely, they will come and they will give you sexual services, but they will also clean your house if you want. So that's the basic idea behind this movie, and that's why it's called How to Please a Woman. The movie is full of all sorts of jokes about whether you can please a woman by giving her good sex, or whether you can please her by doing her house, or maybe both. So the movie is not sort of an X-rated type film, although it might sound like that. All this is handled in a very genteel way, and it's full of sort of gentle, mildly sexy jokes about all of this. And it's a likable little movie, and I had sort of a nice time watching it. It reminded me in a way of movies of old, such as The Full Monty. In a way, this is sort of a variation on The Full Monty. So if you liked The Full Monty some years ago, you'll probably really like How to Please a Woman. Sally Phillips is a very, very nice winning performance, which is really the anchor of the film. But there's a lot of, you know, attractive male characters in it as well. And the whole thing is just sort of very light, very mild, and sort of, oh, let's just say mildly amusing, mildly pleasant. It doesn't go out of its way to make its points. And it's a subtle sort of a movie in that respect. But it's just an amusing film. Also, it's another movie like Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris that really looks great. It's full of just beautiful images, beautiful cinematography, some lovely stuff involving water, even though that's not a main theme of the film, the ocean and so forth. Again, it's an Australian film. And it's just a nice little movie. So How to Please a Woman, if you want a nice, mild, frivolously amusing little film, then you really might enjoy How to Please a Woman, especially if you are somebody who really likes the work of Sally Phillips, who is really, again, the real anchor and center of this movie. So now for a big change of pace. I keep saying almost every week, oh, we have another horror movie this week, because horror movies are big these days. And this is another one which comes with very, very excellent reviews. It's called The Righteous. And yes, it is another religious sort of horror movie. And the main thing about this movie that interested me in it, I like horror movies, so I was interested in that. But the main character, who is a priest, sort of a former priest who's kind of fallen out of the priesthood, is played by Henry Cherney. This is a Canadian film, and Henry Cherney is a very, very gifted Canadian actor. And I've been watching his career since the early 90s when he appeared in a movie called The Boys of St. Vincent, where he also played a priest. And I will just mention, if anybody is interested in this, The Boys of St. Vincent, I think it came out in 1992, is the best film I have ever seen on the subject of child abuse. It is compassionate, it is powerful, and it has an astoundingly great performance by Henry Cherney. I've never seen him quite that great since, but he's very, very good in The Righteous. So in The Righteous, Henry Cherney plays a priest, a person who has fallen out of the priesthood, and he has recently, he fell out of the priesthood a while ago, and he got married, although he's still a very religious person, and he had a child, and the child has died. That's the very beginning of the movie. So he is a very, very upset and unhappy and in some ways miserable person, and his wife is equally upset, and they are just sort of trying to get through their lives and keep their bodies and souls together in the wake of this terrible tragedy. Then something interesting happens. A young man comes into your life. So yes, this is sort of a pretty standard horror movie scenario where you have a mysterious stranger. And in this case, it's a mysterious young man who comes into the lives of this sort of middle-aged couple. And the priest's name is Frederick, and the young man's name is Aaron. And Frederick, for some reason, wants to help Aaron. Aaron appears to be injured on their property, and they live sort of way out in the sticks. And so they sort of help him on an emergency basis, sort of a first aid kind of a basis. But the surprise of Frederick's wife, whose name is Ethel, he really wants to take in this young man, Aaron, and help him out and let him stay overnight and stuff like that. And before you know it, Aaron has kind of wheedled his way into the hearts of both his older protectors at the moment, Frederick and Ethel. So now he is in their household, not to stay, but he's there for a while. He starts to stay day after day. And we know just from the way this young man looks that there just might be something sinister about him. Something is afoot. Also, we probably know this is a horror movie. So we are expecting some sort of bad things to follow. And I'll just tell one of the things that happens, not too long into the movie, is that Aaron says to the former priest, who is still very religious, Frederick, I want you to kill me. I am a sinner, and I want you to kill me. Well, Frederick says, I'm a former priest. I can't kill anybody. But Aaron is really insisting on that, and that becomes one of the central points of tension in the movie. What is going on with Aaron? Why does he have this bizarre request? What is going to happen? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the interesting things about The Righteous is that the man who plays Aaron, Mark O'Brien, is also the writer and director of the movie. And I have to say, this is his first feature as a director. And I have to say, this is a person of really a lot of talents. So even though I was interested in this movie mainly for the performance of Henry Czerny, which is terrific, Mark O'Brien is so excellent as this sinister young man who worms his way into this very ordinary and previously unhappy and now very unhappy household. Mark O'Brien has done a very fine job of writing the movie. He's done a very fine job of directing the movie. I think he has real talent as a director. And he also does a marvelous job of playing this sinister young man named Aaron. So we have two movies this week, Jill, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, and How to Please a Woman, which are all about women. The Righteous has women in it, but it is mainly about men, and it is a very sinister story about male rivalry and male generations and things like that. So a bit of a mixed bag this week, but three pretty good movies to talk about. And that is my somewhat upbeat story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you as always, and we credit you for, of course, keeping it balanced. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, How to Please a Woman, and The Righteous.